Thank you for loving me and trusting me in your pulpit. I want to decree and declare for you before we start, and then we're going to skip to Luke 17, 1 through 10. I'm going to make up for all the scriptures that y'all have not studied this week. You're welcome. I decree open doors of opportunity and divine appointments from heaven. Okay, what am I doing right now? I'm decreeing and declaring, which means the Bible says that life and death are in the power of your words. Some of y'all critical carols and nasty nellies, okay? We're about to shift what you're saying in your words in the next 5 seconds, and you can grab it and say, that's mine. I decree open doors of opportunity and divine appointments from heaven coming your way. May you be positioned to walk into right places and situations that set you up for success and influence. I declare that closed doors of rejection shall not be your experience. Rejection is God's protection. We're going to stop giving CPR to dead situations, and we're going to say, Father, if it is your will, it will be open. I say the enemy has no ability to create blockage or barriers to the place as you are destined by God to enter. I declare that you receive heavenly appointed phone calls. Y'all know what that means, huh? You ain't gonna be brokety broke no more. Your money ain't gonna be funny no more. You ain't gonna be dating Delilah, praying for Ruth. You ain't gonna be wasting your time on Bozo. You're gonna just wait on Boaz. It says heavenly appointed phone calls, letters, contacts, contracts, meetings, assignments, platforms, and engagements are coming your way. I decree that you are given divine opportunities to speak the word of God and further the gospel in your family. The devil has told some of you this week, there's another storm coming, but I'm standing here in covenant tonight to tell you, you got to buckle your back and you got to tell the devil, devil, I serve you. Notice, I am the storm. Bring it on. Bring it on. I decree that you are given divine opportunities to speak the word of God and further the gospel. I called for doors of influence that you didn't even expect. And I declare tonight that a new day of open doors rests upon you. In Jesus' name. You receive it? Do you receive it? Say, Father, everybody lift your hands like this. Say, Father, give it to me. Father, let me move out of your way and let your power rest on me. And I decree and declare an Amos 9:13 anointing that says it won't be long now. God's decree said things are about to happen so fast that my head is about to spin. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing. I won't even be able to keep up. Come on, somebody. Right now in this place, God is healing you. He is healing your mind and he is healing your body. In Jesus' name, I want you to tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you don't look like what you've been through. Some of y'all like what she does. You better hush. Say, you don't prophesy, baby. You don't look like what you've been through. You don't look like that divorce. Come on, somebody. You don't look like that affair. You don't look like that porn site. Come on. You don't look like that addiction. You don't look like it. You look like God. You look like you've had an extreme makeover. Ain't that good? I love that. Because, you know, people will have you believing that your past is all you'll ever be. Right? Anybody ever been there where you've done something so bad and you're like, I can't get out from under anybody? Anybody in this room ever done something so bad that you really think, I need to put my legs up, my hands, all my arms, all my fingers? You've done things that you never thought that God could ever recover. I want you to think about that thing. Because now we have social media. Social media is a beast. Social media will have you looking at everyone's highlight reels and be like, oh my God, I went to high school with that girl. And now she showed back up in my news feed. She is snatched. And she just had twins 2 weeks ago. You ain't following her. You ain't seen her in 30 years. But yes, she's going to show up in your news feed. Because it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that you ain't dealt with. The insecurity that you ain't dealt with. The offense that you hadn't dealt with, right? You'll be scrolling through social media, and all of a sudden you'll see her, and you're like, oh my God, she's got a boy and a girl. I've got five boys trying to have a girl. One offense started right there. Offense already started. You don't even know they bad. Bad, bad. At least little Joseph and Jerry and Johnny, they good. You understand what I'm saying? Her kids are bad. Then the next day you're scrolling and you see, oh my God, she juices everything, every single nut in the pantry. She is showing us how to juice and save money while little Jesse and Johnny and Jerry are all running around the house with chicken McNuggets hanging out of their mouth. Second offense. Then you go and you see them on Destin Beach. How dare her put up her in a bikini, and you are still trying to get your rolls off from little Sarah that's 12 years old, and you are mad. And then all of a sudden, the cherry on top of the ice cream is that she shows a picture of her husband, and he looks like he stepped out of GQ, and yours looks like he stepped out of DQ. Fifth offense. There you have it. Now you mad, right? That's what the enemy does. Just like that. You're like, I wasn't even expecting that. I wasn't mad at nothing. I got up and went to the gym today. I got up and fixed my hair today. I took my muumuu off today. I fixed everything today. I am feeling good. But every time you don't handle something going on in your heart, the enemy's a punk. Tell your neighbor, the enemy's a punk. The enemy is a pump. The enemy uses people. If he knows you've got a problem with insecurity, or you got a problem being jealous, or you got a problem comparing your life, he will make sure that he gets all up in your spirit. Because every person that is in this church tonight, God has a calling and a destiny on you. As long as you ain't dead, God ain't done. As long as you got a pulse, baby, you are still got a purpose. And until you lay your head, some of y'all got a grave. Some of y'all been laying in that grave. You've been crying over what your daddy did 48 years ago. You've been going to see the same therapist. And you can't remember the details. You just know every week you've been codependent on that lady. Now y'all best friends. She taking $200 from you every single week, and you refuse to let go. Well, tonight, say, I'm letting go. Somebody got to say it tonight. Tonight I've been mad for no reason. Tonight I've been pitiful and not powerful. And tonight I'm taking my power back. I was raised in United Pentecostal, and we couldn't cut our hair, and I had to cover my elbows. And, you know, now women cover their elbows after they hit about 45 because of something that happens right here. Like, what is that? Anybody else got that? Like, what is this? What is this? Men, do y'all have this? I don't know. No. He like, no. Boy, bye. But about after 45, we start getting this thing right here, you know. So we wear sleeves because the only thing this thing's good for right here, it doesn't cover your heart. It's not extra protection of nothing. The only thing it's good for is if you get an American flag on it and you just wave it on July the 4th. Just wave it. But I couldn't wear short sleeves because, you know, sleeves are, the elbows are sexy. They gonna make every man fall. And so I always had to wear like long sleeves and long dresses, and my hair was really long, and my mother would put oatmeal boxes and wrap her hair on top of it, right? And my daddy looks like he stepped out of GQ, and us women just walking behind him like that. Well, I was mad. About 12 years old, I started thinking, no. What's going on here? And then I started researching Eve. And if Eve would have just stayed in her lane. Like, apples ain't even good without peanut butter. And she couldn't stay in her lane. And now we got to go through all of this. And I started realizing at about 18 years old, I was with Pastor Rod Parsley at college, Bible college. They sent me away. They were like, dear Jesus, We're going to send you to Rod Parsley's, and you're going to get saved, saved for real. And I go to Pastor Rod Parsley's, and I remember I go to Israel, and I'm standing on the Sea of Galilee, and I'm singing, because I always kind of had favor, you know? It's kind of like oily. I don't even know. Like, even in my bad days, I was just favored. And so I'm singing on the Sea of Galilee. I know the peace speaker. I know him. All I could think about was a piano boy. That was back home. And I'm singing, and all of a sudden, the boat hits something on the Sea of Galilee. I think it's supposed to be, like, calm out there. I'm not real sure. It's supposed to be spiritually calm. Well, it wasn't spiritually calm when I was out there. It was almost like all of a sudden, I know the peace, and I just fall over. And I remember the Lord saying, get it together. We get on the plane to go home, and as we're going home, Pastor Rod Parsley and Lester Summerall are sitting there, and they said, Kimberly, you've got such an anointing of God on your life that we are not going to let you mess it up with that blonde-headed boy on the piano. And so when we get home, we are moving you in with Mama Parsley. I would rather go to hell than live with Mama Parsley, okay? And I'm thinking, over my dead body, am I moving in with that woman that scares the hell out of me? So at 2 o'clock in the morning, we get home. I'm packing my Yugo as hard as I can, fast as I can. I'm like, peace out. Bye, Felicia. I go and did everything they said I couldn't do. 18 years later, man, I'm living like hell, because sin will take you further than you want to go. Cost you more than you want to pay and keep you longer than you want to stay. Well, here I am at 36 years old, and everything Pastor Rod Parsley told me was going to happen happened. Ooh, I ended up back at her house again. I was like, no! Nah! And I heard God say, you're going to get it together this time because you ain't got nowhere to go. And I remember at 36 years old, God telling me it. So I lost everything at 36, had to move back in with my mama. And I know I look white up here, but I'm really black. I'm black inside. But white melts, okay? It's the only difference. And so I'm moving back in with my mama, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, like, what is going to happen? And I heard God for the first time probably in my life at 36 years old, raised United Pentecostal, I mean, on a church pew. Special ed, I was literally, had a parapro eating with me my whole education life. I would feel my face thinking, maybe I got drool coming out of my face, I just don't know it. Maybe everybody thinks they normal. And it was like everything was setting me up for this master failure of a life. I couldn't buy cheese with my credit. I had to move back in with her. And I'm sitting there one day and I'm like, God, because I am her. I think the more dramatic that you are, the more he going to hear me before he hears y'all, okay? So I'm laying in bed. I'm like, I mean, just pitiful. And I heard God say, are you done? I was like, huh? Somebody in this room with me? And I heard God say, you done? And I said, take this pain away from me. And I heard God say, I can't take it away. You got to get up and walk away. And I'm talking to some people in this room today that you've been at a place where you've been cut so deep. I heard Ricardo say this, and I'm already taking it. That was only 4 hours ago, but I'm already stealing it. He said, sometimes you're cut so deep in a situation that it's better just to bleed out. Let it bleed. Stop faking it. Stop acting like nothing's wrong. Stop acting like they didn't hurt you. I don't need no man. You know you want a big old burly man so bad coming behind you and wrapping his arms around you. But yet we walk through life. And instead of letting ourselves bleed out and believing that God is a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that whenever he absolutely puts you in your mama's belly, he knew that you were going to be crazy. He knew that you were going to be the black sheep of the family. He said, and you're going to walk into covenant to the Love Conference on March 2022, and I'm going to shift you from being the black sheep to the goat. You're going to be the goat. You're going to be the goat. You're like, I ain't no goat. You want to be a goat. Goat is greatest of all times. I want to take us to Luke 17:1-10. Luke 17:1-10 ain't nothing like being healthy. I was walking through my hotel room today singing, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. When you go to hell and come out on fire, you hear me? Things just different. Things don't mess you up no more. Now when somebody uglied you and clapped you on social media, you're like, oh, you're going to love me in a minute. Haters are just confused fans. You're going to love me, right? Ain't nothing like having a healthy mind and soul. Let's read. It says, one day, Jesus said to his disciples, there will always be temptations to sin. Come on, somebody, say temptations to sin. But what sorrow awaits the man who does the tempting? Some of y'all need to apologize to your spouse. You ain't said one word to him all week, but you've been slamming those cabinets. You're like, sleep in the guest room. You are making him sin. It said, but what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting? It would be better to be thrown into the sea with a millstone hung around your neck than to cause one of these little ones to fall in sin. Well, he ain't a little one. He a big one, Kim. So watch yourselves. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there is repentance, forgive. Oh, that ain't for me. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day. And each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive. Anybody find that impossible? Come on, just lift your hand up. What happens? Covenant. It's hard, ain't it? When somebody is looking at you and, oh, this is the worst. The exes. When the exes, anybody had a crazy ex? Really, probably we were the crazy one, I'm just saying. Just think, how crazy is it that somebody's going to therapy for you right now? But we all need Jesus, right? It says, if another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there's repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive. Now, I used to lay in my bed every night, okay, after this marriage ended. And I would lay in my bed and I'd be like, kill him! I was wretched. I was not righteous yet. I was so saved just a little bit. Like, I was like from the south side of heaven. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't yet on the whole side of heaven. I was still like this, like teetering, okay? And I'd be like, kill him! Ricardo, kill him! And I just prayed for God to kill him. I was like, kill him with a train. I mean, I was intentional. Because I knew if a train killed him, Benny Hinn couldn't bring him back to life. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was gone. And so when God would be like, pray for him, I'd be like, I am every night. God goes, but you do know you ain't praying for him, right? Like, you got to pray blessings over him. And then I had to change the prayer. And I'd say, God, I want to forgive, but I don't know how. I got to pray specifics. Because I know, God, you've got a plan for my life. And if I'm not living in the exceedingly abundantly more than I could ever ask or think, then there's something off in my life. Because God created me to be a relationship person. God created me to live in overflow. The wealth of the wicked is mine, right? God created me that when he put a desire on the inside of me, he also created the ability that I was going to walk in it. So if I'm still struggling at 58 years old, 38 years old, 28 years old, there's something wrong with me, right? And so I had to start praying, God, I need to be intentional. I want to love like you. I didn't even like people. If I would have died, nobody would have come to my funeral. I would not even have gotten a Facebook memorial page. And so I'd stand in the mirror and I'd go, God, I want to love like you. I did not know what I was praying for. And I would sit here and read this scripture over and over again. God, I want to love like you. I want to know how to forgive like you. The Lord answered. Listen to me. He said, the apostle said to the Lord, anytime if they said it 15,000 times, you got to forgive over and over and over. You must forgive. And the apostle said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. The Lord answered, if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed. Do y'all know what a mustard seed looks like? It's smaller than your pinky. It's like the end of your little pinky. If you've got that much faith, he says, if you've got faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. When a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of his sheep, does this master say, come in and eat with me? No. He says, prepare my meal, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later. And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty. God, I don't know how to love like that, but I want to love. I went from hating people to now loving millions of people. It's my favorite hobby on the planet. People I never meet. Why? Because I read this scripture and I got a hold of it. I stopped going to love conferences and just shouting love and falling in the floor and getting everybody to lay hands on me and me going home and being Ratchet Medea. I had to work on me. And if this scripture is saying it, then we've got to get out of our feelings and into some healing. Y'all, there ain't no money in your feelings. That's why you broke. You worried about stuff you ain't even got to be worried about. I love even 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus comes again. Boom, shakalaka, like a boom. It means love the Lord your God. Listen, if you get these two things down, you good. Come on. This is all you got to know. It says, if you love the Lord your God with all your what? Your toe. Y'all ain't saying nothing over here. Y'all sleeping. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, everything else falls into place. Now, that's a commandment. That ain't if you're feeling good. That ain't a suggestion. He's saying, listen, if you learn how to love me and you get up in the morning and you ain't just laying in your bed, read my mind. I'm tired. I laid up all night long. Couldn't sleep because anxiety took over my life. I can't even breathe today. I'm just so done. Need 12 cups of coffee. No coffee, no talkie. And love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Here's what you got to do. You got to wake up in the morning and choose your own thoughts. You know what that means? When you wake up in the morning and you're fighting with your spouse, waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the dark. Y'all, I ain't even kidding. I wake up in the morning, I'm like, good morning, Holy Spirit. I will get on your last nerve. Because we just walked through a pandemic. I've watched people lose all their family members, and I'm still here. And so it's choosing every day, what are my thoughts going to be today? Am I going to go to my job and be angry? Last night we talked about manifesting. Last night we talked about all of these things. Listen to him talk last night. I'm thinking, Jesus, about halfway through, I'm thinking, somebody bringing us coffee. We got deep in the word last night. And the one thing he said was, we are in control. We are CEO of our lives. It ain't your husband's fault. And it ain't your husband's job to bring you out, or your wife's, or your kids, if you have another baby, if you don't. It's choosing this day whom I will serve. That means I'm getting up. And you know what's so cool, y'all? A lot of y'all like following people in real life that you need to unfollow in real life. You got people up in your VIP section that you need to move to the balcony. I love you, but I love you from up there. Well, what would Jesus do? He would move them to the balcony. Because everybody ain't your assignment. That's why you tired. Right? You got to get to a place where you realize that God is not a God of chaos and confusion. He is not a God that's out to spank you and make you, live a horrible life. No, he's saying, I want to show out. You ain't even got to put a fish on the back of your car. Some of y'all need to take the fish off. You done forgot the fish is there, but we ain't forgot the fish is there. We done got you on all the cameras in Douglas. You got to choose your thoughts. You got to decide, I ain't staying here. I'm not going to be depressed no more. Well, depression, don't go there, Kim. My mother was depressed. My granny was depressed. And I'm depressed. Y'all holding on to depression like you're going to win a reward for it. This is just it. I'm going to die of cancer. Y'all done got your whole funeral list laid out. You want them to sing, his eye is on the sparrow. They said you're going to die, now you're dead. Instead of realizing that, no. Generational curse breaker right here, baby. Generational curses are real, but I'm a generational curse breaker. I'm a generational curse breaker. I'm where the blessing starts. Your mouth is a weapon against Satan. If you look at the five closest friends in your life, they're a prophecy into your future. You're welcome. Some of y'all are like, oh, dear God. Yeah, you ain't going nowhere. Y'all gonna all be sitting and watching every series on Netflix and chilling. Living in a trailer down by the river. Waiting on another stimulus check. You ain't getting one. You are not getting another stimulus check. Sorry. You didn't tithe on it. You didn't tithe on your stimulus check. Well, I didn't know I had to tithe on that. I didn't work for it. Exactly. Exactly. You didn't work on it. You didn't work for it. It was the blessings of God. It was the Amos 9:13. If you don't want to overeat, stop thinking about food every day. How many people got the Weight Watcher app on your phone? Come on, show me. How many? Y'all like? Every week I hit my quota. We can't tell. You've been on Weight Watchers how long? You done advocating for the last 12 years. Y'all, I went to the doctor in May. I go into the doctor, and I went from keto into eto. And anybody else during the pandemic? Y'all, listen. I go up into the doctor's office and she said, congratulations, you are on the obese chart. I said, no, ma'am, it is the Mr. T chains. She said, it is not the Mr. T chains, it is your hips. She said, you are obese. I said, no. She said, you actually weigh like a man. I said, what? I got in the car because I am that girl. I don't need nobody to lay hands on me. I'm like, come on! Sugar demon! Twizzler devil, come out. I heard God say, girl, just don't buy it. You ain't got to count no Weight Watcher points. All you got to do is keep the sugar out of your house and fix whatever it is. Anybody in your life that's making you go eat Haagen-Dazs, sit on the couch and scratch your behind. Bye. Hey. I went home, got rid of all the candy. I lost 55 pounds. Won't he do it? I went back to the doctor. I said, look, I did it. She said, because you were overweight. So it's changing and shifting our patterns and thinking, changing what we're thinking about. It's if you don't like what you're seeing in your life, you have to shift, right? Shift happens when you happen to move. All right, here's another scripture. I'm giving y'all lots of scriptures tonight. Let's go to Philippians 4, 4 through 7. I'm going to bring this thing around. And then I'm going to pray for you. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone, y'all do realize what I'm doing tonight, right? We're talking about heart posture. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. And remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. How many worry warts we got in here? Come on, some of y'all lying. You're going to hell on this little line. Worrying about everything. It says don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then, say then, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. Yo, living in anxiety comes from what's coming out of your mouth. Living in anxiety feels a lot like living on the run. Anybody got anxiety problems in here? Living on the run, right? Panic settles in your chest as you try desperately to escape to a safe place that seems just out of reach. Worries swirl around in your head at a speed that makes it hard to breathe. Anybody ever had a panic attack? And you're chasing these things around, and fear is welling up in you, and you just shouted in church, and you get in the car, and all of a sudden you start feeling anxiety of something that you never took care of when you were a child. Coming to church screaming, I receive it! And ain't received nothing. Because a part of you won't let go of that thing that you become codependent and stuck to. The pain, the fear. Does that sound familiar to anybody in here? There's a constant pressure never that shuts off in your life. Emails never stop. Notifications pile up on your phones. And let's not forget the comparison trap on social media. And it brings this place in you that makes your heart constantly go. Y'all, I literally was in Arizona preaching. And I am preaching the paint off the walls. And I'm laying hands on people. And this lady comes up and she's got MS. And she's walking like this. And I think, oh, dear Jesus. God said, lay hands on her. She's going to get healed. And tell her you're going to chase her around the church. I looked at her, I said, you're about to get healed, and I'm going to chase you around the church. She got healed, and I chased her around the church. And as soon as I got home, I started feeling a tingling in my arm. And I did exactly what I preach y'all should not do. I went on Dr. Google. And I said, oh, dear God. What is going on? My arm is tingling. I called Mimi. I said, Mimi, I just Googled it. I'm going to be dead in 5 minutes. I'm having a stroke. This is the signs of a stroke. Mother goes, you just chased a woman around the building last night? RTK? I hate it when people throw my own stuff up. She said, you mean that you just chased somebody around the church and you saw miracle signs and wonders and now you're going to die? She said, get in your closet and lay hands on yourself. And I walked in that closet and I was like, oh, the Spirit of God. I was speaking in tongues. I was feeling his power. But it wasn't happening. It was still tingling. I was like, oh, dear God. Finally, I thought I got about 3 minutes to get to the emergency room now because it's still tingling. Finally, she takes me to the emergency room, and I did not even let her stop the car, and I'm falling out of the car, and I am running up to the podium, and this is when I was on Preachers of Atlanta, so people knew who I was, right? I'm falling in there, and all of a sudden, I'll get thinking about, I couldn't breathe. And so I just proceed to fall over the front desk. She said, ma'am, can I help you? Mimi standing behind me going, you just laid hands on everybody in the building and you're still going to fall over the counter right now? Really? You're still here? Come on. She said, what is your name? I said, oh, damn. She said, what's your social security number? I said, I'll have what I'm done. Nobody was moving, so I died. And I'm laying over the counter, and all I hear is God say, what are you doing? I said, Elizabeth, I'm coming home. All I heard was God say, girl, you ain't coming home. But if you don't get your butt up right now, you're going to be out $10,000. If you go behind those sliding glass doors, it was the emergency room. All I heard was $10,000. I said, come on, mama. There's been a miracle in Piedmont Fed. Won't he do it? I ain't never had a panic attack another day in my life. Ever. And I realized something, Allison, that if I died, I wouldn't know it. Did y'all know that you die, you ain't gonna know you dead? I preach a sermon all the time about the man at the Pool of Bethesda. And at the Pool of Bethesda, we hear this man laid there for 38 years. Some of y'all been laying there for 38 years. You can't sleep. You know why you can't sleep? Anybody got insomnia problems in here? Lift your hand. You got it? You're like, I ain't telling you, you gonna call me out. Insomnia problems comes from not having peace. And I want to shift the narrative for you tonight. God did not create you to struggle. God did not create you to be messy. You can't be messy and anointed. When I was laid at my mom and daddy's house, couldn't buy cheese with my credit. Had two little boys that needed their mama. Now they're 28 years old and 26 years old. They're both 6'5", and they're both in ministry with me. But for y'all, for years and years, I was like that man at the Pool of Bethesda. 38 years. And in scripture, it says that at the portal coast, there was all of porches. And under those porches, people had made camp under those porches. Depressed, weak, broken, probably heartbroken. Probably stuff that started at a very young age in their lives. Because the enemy always starts in your life as a child. When you have a calling of God on your life, thieves don't rob empty vaults. The enemy is not fighting you because you're weak. He's fighting you because you're strong. And in the Bible, it talks about how he laid there for 38 years. And all of a sudden, Jesus is going to come by and say, you want to get well? Duh. What do you mean, do I want to get well? I can't. Every single time that water gets moved, this is how y'all feel in church. You come in church and you worship Jesus. Some of y'all worshiped him your whole life during this pandemic. You've lost loved ones and now you're mad at God. And now you're at this place of having to make a decision. Am I going to throw the towel in? Am I going to think just because I'm 40 years old now and I ain't got cheese, can't buy cheese with my credit, and they just sold the house that my husband built for me that died in the pandemic? They took it away on the step room courtyard. So if you're saying, you don't need somebody to help you get in the water. I'm here. You just got to make up in your mind I ain't staying here anymore. I'm getting up out of this place. 38 years. I don't know about y'all, but if I'm laying at a place and I can see the water, and you got to get in there when the water is stirred, I would probably crawl. But there's a reason why he couldn't. He said, get up and walk. It never said in the Word of God that his legs grew out. So that means his legs were there. But something in his mind told him, you're done. You're stuck. It's over. You can't get up and advocate about that. You were the worst one doing it. You can't let God use you. Because then if they Google you, they're going to know you went to jail because of a DUI 12 times. They're going to know that you were a star at Pink Pony. God is saying tonight, meet me. Just make up in your mind that I'm starting right here. If I gotta drag my big old thick thigh, I'm dragging it. If it feels like I'm a turtle stuck in peanut butter, I'm doing it. Some of y'all literally tonight need to make up in your mind to stop being mad. You're mad. What are you mad at? What are you mad at? You're breathing. Well, I can't buy cheese with my credit. God is bigger than your credit. You thought because the curtain had closed, the production was over, but God said, I had to close the curtain in order to set up for the next scene. You know what's so crazy, y'all, is everybody wants to be a diamond, but nobody wants to get cut.
Come on.
We don't want the embarrassment. We don't want people talking about us. That's where anxiety comes from. You care more what people think about you than what God knows about you. You might have done everything they said you did. But my Bible says that once you come to know me, all old things have passed away and I've made things new. Have you ever studied the Bible? The woman at the well had been married 5 times and living with the dude that wasn't even her spouse. And that was the first one that God said, I'm the Messiah. She started the greatest revival on the planet. You got Paul that was bit. He was Saul. He was a Christian killer. You got doggone Jonah. He was told to go to Nineveh. He's like, boy, bye, kill him. I ain't going. Went the exact opposite way. And God was so powerful, he said, fish, go follow Jonah. He's going to need transportation back to where I told him to be in the first place. That's the God you serve. It took me literally 36, 37. I told God I was everything I preached tonight. I had to study that scripture to forgive, forgive, forgive. Remember, I prayed for my ex to get killed with the train. When God told me he couldn't use me until I forgave. I remember laying in my bed saying, God, I want to forgive, but I don't know how. And I remember about 2 weeks in, I realized I wasn't praying for him to die no more. I was just like, God, don't kill him, just hurt him. Baby steps. And then all of a sudden, I felt the release of God's power in my life. Now I'm 49 years old. I'm going to be 50. I don't even know how that happened. I feel like I am 20, okay? I am so immature, it's not even funny. Living my best life. But I look back at all the years that I was bent on not forgiving. And how I kept letting people in my life because it's the law of draw. You don't get what you want, you get what you are. And until I got to that place where I began to surrender and I stopped playing church, I learned to repent before God. Y'all, there is a heaven and there is a hell. All this stuff, and once say, always say. I'm really afraid. I don't know what y'all believe. I hope to God y'all believe what I'm just saying because I'm so sorry. I guess my point is, why get saved if you can live like the world?
Let's go.
When God really does a work in your life, you don't clap back no more. When God does a work in your life, you don't need antidepressants anymore. I used to be on them, y'all. I was on antidepressants because I wouldn't let go. I was so angry. I'd get up in the morning and say, Mom, where's my spaghetti? She'd say, on your face. Because Ambien makes you walk and sleep and eat. But I had to get to a place where I said, God, I want to live so right that when I walk in a room, I don't have to open my mouth. How many in this room want to feel that tonight? I want to be able to walk into a room and know that if the trumpet blows, tonight, that I am living on 1697 Holy Graceland Lane, having a Holy Ghost party because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. I don't know what you walked in with tonight, but if God can do what he's done in my life, what he did at the man at the pool of Bethesda's life. The woman with the issue of blood. That broad bled for 12 years. You know what it changed for her? But she got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And she said, I'm getting to the feet of Jesus. If it's the last thing I do, if I gotta crawl, I want my heart to get right. And I'm going to get healed. If you got to step on me, I'm going to worship and I'm going to mean it from my toes. I'm going to sleep every night in peace. When I go to work, I'm going to be so contagious with Jesus and liquid love is going to just flow off of me. That's where I'm going to live. And that's what God is saying in this room. There's some very tired people in here. You're at your wit's end. 40 years old, I preached my first sermon. I was working at Bloomingdale's, making $9 an hour. They put me in cosmetics. I still don't know how to do makeup. My eyebrows are not on fleek. And now when I look back, I see the hand of God. I fell in love with those people because for 45 minutes because I didn't know how to do their eyelashes. I'd be like, girl, you don't even need no eyelashes. You're so beautiful. God created the feathers right on your eyelids. And for 45 minutes, I was loving them back to God. And I was healing. Wherever you are in your life right now is exactly where you're supposed to be or you wouldn't be there. I'm in my broke down Bentley, sitting on the side of the road. I call it my knockoff Bentley because it was a 300 Chrysler. It looked like a Bentley on the outside, but that baby was not a Bentley. It was a 300 Chrysler knockoff. And I'm driving down the road one day, and I had made up in my mind, y'all listen to me, I made up in my mind, I ain't staying here. I'm not going to be depressed the rest of my life. I'm not going to live at my mama's for the rest of my life. I want to get out of this place. I don't want to miss all these vacations because I have to stay at home and work retail while they go on vacation with my two sons. And so I'm in the car and I put on preaching, going to work and coming home every day. I'd put on T.D. Jakes. I wouldn't be bumping into Lemonade or Cardi B. I would put on T.D. Jakes. Get ready, get ready, get ready. I'd go pause. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. God's gonna move. I'd go pause. God's gonna move. I'd be preaching in that car. And I started seeing my life changing. And one day my car's overheating on the side of the road and all I see is smoke coming out. And God had done such a work in my life. All I could think about was, God, you think of everything. You've given me my own smoke machine. And it's flying out. The smoke is everywhere. And I take my phone out, sitting on the side of 75. And I held my phone up. And I said, hello, awesome people. Are you sitting on the side of the road feeling like God's forgetting and forgotten about you? Oh, you want to give up? Get. And I upload. I said, God, every time that this punk devil's got me sitting on the side of the road because of this doggone hoopty, I'm going to do another video. The third video went viral. And all these rappers were sharing it, and they were saying, man, this is some good. I'm like, yes! Yes, cuss! Because you're getting hit with the Holy Ghost and don't even know it. That was at 39 years old. And at 40 years old, God let me go full-time ministry. He made me stay at Bloomingdale's. I was so excited because I got to go preach for T.D. Jakes at a relationship conference. Now, y'all know I just went through a divorce. On the flyer, it said relationship expert. I was like, yeah, I am. I can tell you how to keep them and how to run them off, okay? Stand up on your feet. Y'all listen to me. That was 8 years ago. 8 years ago, I couldn't buy cheese with my credit. Now I could buy all y'all a house. I ain't going to. Because you're going to buy your own. What am I saying to you? I got my heart right. I stopped waiting for everything to get right in my life. You know why you're sinning? You know why you're talking to women that ain't your wife, sir? You know why you are yelling at everybody, even your kids don't want to look at your face because you're like, yeah! You're like Cruella de Vil. It's because you ain't got no peace in your heart. And tonight's where it starts. Tonight is when you make an exchange with God. And you say, God, I'm giving you my troubles and you're going to give me your peace. Y'all, that was 8 years ago. You remember I left Rod Parsley's peace out, my Felicia? Y'all remember when I did that? 5 years ago, God kept telling me, Kimberly, you live so nobody believes that I vindicate you. Because people were talking about me when I walked through my divorce. And I heard God say, don't, your fruit will outlive their lies. Somebody here fighting some stuff you ain't even need to be fighting. You need to hush your mouth what you need to do so God can fight it. 5 years ago, all of a sudden, Rod Parsley's office is called and he said, we want Kimberly to come. We want Real Talk Kim to come preach at Dominion Camp Meeting. I thought, dear God, I'm getting pumped. Here's what I'm telling you tonight. We're in the middle of the love conference. Tonight is the decision that you make. I'm letting go of anxiousness. I'm letting go of fear. I'm letting go of what they said about me. I'm letting go of the anger in my heart towards. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe you're making your spouse pay for stuff your daddy did. Maybe you did everything they said you did. But you ain't that person no more. Tonight, here's what God told me when I was getting ready. He's about to make every crooked way straight in your life. He is literally about to make every crooked way straight in your life. He is literally about to take you from the back of the line to the front of the line. He is about to redeem some time in your life. If God can do what he's done in my life, I've written 4 books. Special ed. If y'all look at my social media platform, you got to be in the Holy Ghost to read what I'm trying to say. There ain't no commas. But God's using me. You know why? Because all he needs is this. I'm getting up and I'm moving. I'm not looking back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over in you. things are made new. Come on, y'all. Who's in this room tonight and you're saying, I'm ready to shift from this stuff to love? How many of this room's making up in your mind tonight? Because here's what's going to happen. There's a shift that's about to take place. Y'all, when I tell you, when God comes on the scene, he gonna wreck your life. I hope you got your sleep. Because when God comes on the scene and it's like, ta-da, you're like, I don't even know what's happening right now. He comes on the scene and he begins to touch your life with favor. He touches your marriage with favor. He fills your womb. There's somebody in here that's been trying to have a baby. And I hear God saying, your womb is about to be filled. But the problem was your heart was not in a position that it needed to be in. The baby had become your idol. If you're in this room and you're like, Kim, I hear you. I'm ready to walk out of where I am into a new season. I want you to get down here as quick as you are. If you struggle with addiction, if you struggle with depression, if you struggle with what people said about you, if you struggle with fear, if you don't know who Jesus is, you got to know who Jesus is. Come on, get down here. Don't just walk. This is like the lottery. Come on, I'm laying it down. I'm not going to be mad no more. I'm not living in my past no more. Come on, run, 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 run.
All things are new.
Come on, bring it, bring it, bring it. Here's what I hear the Lord saying. It's okay. Everybody has a story. Yours is about to be a bestseller. And here's what God's about to do. God is really, woo. He is healing the spirit of insecurity. Feeling inadequate. He's restoring marriages in this house. If your marriage is on the rocks, you need to get down here. If your marriage is on the rocks, God is healing it. I don't care if you're here by yourself. You got to fight for your marriage. You can't just throw in your marriage. There's somebody else in here. You're struggling with bad addiction. It's a man. There's some women in here dealing with it too, but there's one man in here that you lost a lot in the pandemic, and you've been numbing your pain with addiction, and you had been clean for a minute, and then you fell back into the dark hole, and now you're beating yourself up about it. God is about to absolutely take the desire out from your heart right now. Get down here. That's right. Come on, come on, come on. You ain't got to be embarrassed. You ain't got to care what nobody thinks. The person that's judging you needs to be here too. Get down here. Get down here. Y'all squeeze tight. I love closeness. God is in relationships. He's in relationships. God is healing marriages in here. Some couple in here struggle with infidelity. And the infidelity has brought up a lot of anxiousness. And you're not going to be paying for that for the rest of your life. It's going to be all right. You're a hell shaker. Don't ever look back again. Where the enemy gets you in your sin, let me tell y'all where the enemy gets you in your sin. He's such a punk. Let me tell you where he gets you. He makes you feel guilty. And then you got to keep sinning to stay there. And tonight I'm looking at all of you men of God. And I'm telling you that God's done forgiving you. Woman of God, God's done forgiving you. And you are not God. You are not his God. You're his wife. You got to let it go. You hear me? Let it go. Now here's what we're about to do. We're about to pray. And I ain't even going to lay hands on you. I might. If I do, I want y'all to take it. Because here's the problem. We go to conferences and we think that the power's in the preacher. But the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that lives in here and me, lives in you. You've got the same power. You've got the same oil. And so in order for the anointing to transfer from me to you or any of these other pastors, you got to know you deserve it. And here's what I'm telling you. Your sins are forgiven. When you walk out of this place tonight, we all going to get saved again for starters. But when you walk out of this church tonight, you're going to have spiritual amnesia. You're not even going to remember who you need to be talking to. You're going to feel a void in your spirit that whatever it was that made you reach for things that you weren't supposed to be reaching for, God's going to fill the void. Is that good? Are y'all ready for that? Y'all ready for that? Now here's what you got to do. Say, I forgive. Say the name. Tough, ain't it? I'm going to give you another chance. Because this is where it's dropping off of you. Say, I forgive. Say the name. Say it. Say it. Woo! Say it. I forgive my daddy, my uncle, myself. Big boys cry. Tears are the safety valve of the heart. Now here's what's going to happen. When you say it, you let go of it. I'm not ever bringing it up again. I'm not going to bring what you did up again. Say, I forgive. Say the name. Now, Father, in this place right now, I pray your power sit on top of us. Thank you, God, that you got off of that throne and you got onto that cross and you stretched your arms out wide and you said, for me, it is finished. And if I was the only one on this planet, God, you would still do it again. Now, Lord, in this place, I pray that your power would just explode over us, God. Fill our hearts with your power. Fill our hearts with your spirit. Lord, download your Holy Spirit inside of us. Right now, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, all over this room. Massage our hearts, God. Right now, right now. Come on, say, God, I receive it. 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 I receive it.